Amen. This is a good time for all of us to change and look at our lives and say, how can I go from where I am to that next level in God? Because we went from planting and watering and tilling to harvesting, and now we're reaping the harvest and storing it and canning it. And what a wonderful example of the kingdom of God that our Father gave us right in front of our eyes every single day. That's why he said in the book of Romans chapter 1, on that day of judgment, there will be no one with an excuse of why they didn't know who God was or any of the rest of that. So we welcome you, all of you, Brother Roger, Sister Sunday, Brother Dan, Sister Gwen, Sister Rebecca, Sister Phyllis, love you guys. Good to have you with us tonight. And here we go. We'll start with our opening prayer.
That's a good beginning.
We'll start with our opening prayer. Okay. We'll start with our opening prayer. And you can see it right there. Huh. Well, since we were on here last time, they've just added a few more clicks, that's all. There we go. Say this opening prayer with me. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ, filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry. Our lives will be changed forever by the word of God, so that glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen and amen. Now, we welcome you. For those of you that might be saying, wow, Pastor, where you guys been? Sister Leanne and I had an exciting 8-day adventure. We drove 2,500 miles, and we were in two conferences, got to see her dad, and got to see my son, got to see some other folks, and got to watch Braden play football, and I got to see a guy that him and his wife, a young man that I married a couple years ago, and we traveled and saw a whole bunch of beautiful, beautiful landscape. For those of you that are in Michigan, in the UP, the trees are already turning colors. And, you know, within another week, you should be able to take a color tour and really see some amazing colors. And when you go, make sure you stop at La Loon's in Ishpeming and try their pasty. It is amazing. They did a good job.
Yeah, they did. They did. Hi, Phyllis. Hi.
Roger.
Sunday.
Hello, sweetheart. I missed you.
I missed you, too. We did.
I know you had fun, though.
We did have fun, but we missed being.
We had fun. Too. We got a serious amount of anointing.
Oh my goodness!
And now it's time to put it all into practice and make things happen right here. So tonight, here's our assignment tonight. We're reading 2 days of Read the Word, the 18th and 19th of September. That will be Ezra chapter 1 through Ezra chapter 6. And it's about rebuilding the temple. And we'll be, that helps us just continually stay caught up. And, you know, think about it now. My camera's off. All right. Turn the camera back on. Think about this. That the we watched God say to the children of Israel, you're going astray. You're going astray. I'm going to send you into bondage. I'm going to send you into bondage. I'm going to send you. You're going to go into bondage. I'm going to have to send you into bondage. Study the law. And then there was a few kings that did it right and the prophets that did it right. And then they did it wrong. And then off they went to Babylon. And now, through the book of Ezekiel and Jeremiah, we have experienced the 70 years. And now God is going to begin to take the children of Israel back to Israel and back to their homeland and start building the temple and building the wall. And so, here we go with the book of Ezra. Let's get a few foundation thoughts about the book of Ezra, and then we'll begin to read. Ezra was a scribe, and it's generally believed that Ezra is the writer of the book, but there may have been others who have had taken part in actually writing the words as he told them what to write. The purpose of this book is to document the faithfulness of God, who kept his promise when he said, I'm going to send you into captivity, but I'm bringing you back. And so to whom is it written? The book was written to the remnant of Israel, Jerusalem, and future generations like you. You know, the main theme of this is, even though you may have sinned, God is a God of restoration, and he wants to make things happen for you. One of the other notable things that about Brother Ezra is it is attributed that he wrote Psalm 119. And by some, and some say, no, that's David. But anyways, the idea is this. When we get into the book of Ezra, Ezra has such a love for the Word of God as they read it and as the temple is rebuilt. He was God's man, paid for by Cyrus to go back and build the temple in the city of Jerusalem. Here we go. Ezra chapter 1. We would appreciate if all of you in the live viewing audience make sure you silence your electronic devices effectively, so we have no unnecessary interruptions during the program. But coffee was not an unnecessary interruption.
It's feeling very necessary, huh?
Ezra chapter 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. Now, in one verse, we get a huge picture painted. Holy Spirit spoke through Jeremiah. Ezra knows this prophecy of Jeremiah and is remembering it. The Spirit of God is bringing it to him. Remember, the whole book, the whole Bible, no matter how many people say, well, you know, the Brother Paul was teaching us from his vast wisdom. No. Brother Paul was writing as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write. And that's what these men are doing. So you can see Cyrus, the king of Persia, Jeremiah, Cyrus, the king of Persia, and, of course, Ezra, and prophecy And all of it is in one verse. Stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation through all his kingdom, and also put it into writing, saying, verse 2 is the beginning. Thus says Cyrus, the king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is Judah. Who is among you of all his people? May his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. Verse 4, and whoever is left in any place where he dwells, let the men of this place help him with silver, gold, goods, livestock, besides the freewill offerings for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. Now that's the end of the writing that he wrote. But when you take that and you go over here to the book of Ecclesiastes, you see where Solomon said that God gives it to the wicked to heap up and store up, to give to the man who is good in his sight, that he may establish the covenant of Almighty God. Verse 5. Then the heads of the fathers' houses of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all whose spirits God had moved, arose to go up and build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. And all those who were around them encouraged them with articles of silver and gold, with goods and livestock, with precious things, besides all that was willingly offered. King Cyrus also brought out of the articles of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from Jerusalem, and put in the temple of his God. And Cyrus, king of Persia, brought them out by the hand of Mithridath, the treasurer, and counted them out to Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. This is the number of them: 30 gold platters, 1,000 silver platters, 29 knives, 30 gold basins, 400 and 10 silver basins of a similar kind, and 1,000 other articles. All the articles of gold and silver were 5,400. All these Sheshbazzar took with the captives who were brought from Babylon to Jerusalem. Chapter 2. Now these are the people of the province who came back from the captivity of those who had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away to Babylon, and who returned to Jerusalem and Judea, every one to his own city. Verse 2. Those who came with Zerubbabel were Jeshua, Nehemiah, Seraiah, Realiah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mizpar, Bigvai, Rehum, and Bena. The number of the men of the people of Israel. The people of Parash, 2,172. The people of Shephatiah, 372. I'm in Ezra 2:5. The people of Arah, 775. The people of Pahath Moab, of the people of Jeshua and Joab, 2,812. The people of Elam, 1,254. The people of Zattu, 945. The people of Zakai, 760. The people of Bani, 642. The people of Bebai, 623. The people of Asgad, 1,222. Isn't that something that he goes right down to the number? God is specific about this.
Very.
The people of Andonikim, 666. The people of Bigvai, 2,056. The people of Aden, 454. The people of Ader, of Hezekiah, 98. Verse 17. The people of Bezai, 323. The people of Jorah, 112. The people of Hashem, 223. The people of Gibar, 95. So far, 95 is the smallest village. I don't know if you've been keeping track of that, but I was. The people of Bethlehem, 123. The men of Netophah, 56. That's the smallest one. The men of Anathoth, 128. The people of Asmodeus, 42. That's the smallest one. Huh. Don't know if you're keeping track of that, but I was. The people of Kirjath Aram, Shephira, and Beirath, 743. People of Ramah and Geba, 621. The men of Michmas, 122. The men of Bethel and Ai, 223. The people of Nebo, 52. The people of Magbish, 156. The people of the other Elam, 1,254. I just wonder which one of them had on the sign as you come in the city, the other Edom.
Yeah.
Population 254. The people of Haram, 320. The people of Lod, Hadid, and Ono, 775. The people of Jericho, 345. The people of Sinea, 3,630. That's the largest one so far. The priests, the sons of Jedidiah, of the house of Jeshua, 973. Don't look away. The sons of Immer, 1,052. I looked away, and when I said it, you looked up and looked away too. Now, one of us got to keep our eye on the word here. The sons of Pasher, 1,247. The sons of Aram, 1,017. The Levites, the sons of Jeshua, and Kadmiel, of the sons of Hodaviah, 74. The singers, the sons of Asaph, 128. The sons of the gatekeepers, the sons of Shalom, the sons of Ader, the sons of Talmon, the sons of Akkub, the sons of Hatita, the sons of Shobai, 139 in all. The Nethinim, the sons of Ziha, the sons of Hasufa, the sons of Tabaoth, the sons of Kiras, the sons of Siaya, the sons of Padan, the sons of Lebana, the sons of Hagabah, the sons of Ekab, the sons of Hagab, the sons of Shalmai, the sons of Hanan, the sons of Gideel, the sons of Gihar, the sons of Re'aiah, the sons of Rezin, the sons of Rezin, sons of Nakoda, the sons of Gazim, the sons of Uzzah, the sons of Pasea, the sons of Bisei, the sons of Asna, the sons of Meunim, the sons of Nefusim, sons of Bakbuk, the sons of Hakufa, the sons of Harher, The sons of Bazaleth, the sons of Mehida, the sons of Harsha, the sons of Barkalat. Okay, Barkas. The sons of Sisera, the sons of Tema, the sons of Naziah, the sons of Hadapha, the sons of Solomon's servants, the sons of Sotai, the sons of Sophereteth, the sons of Peruda, the sons of Jaala, the sons of Darkon, the sons of Gideel, the sons of Shephatiah, the sons of Hatil, the sons of Pachareth, of Zabaim, and the sons of Ami, all the Nethineim, and the children of Solomon's servants, were 392. And these were the ones who came up from Tel Mela, Tel Harsha, Cherub, Adan, and Emer. But they could not identify their father's house or their genealogy, whether they were of Israel. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Where were their scribes?
Yeah. Sons of Delaiah, the sons of Tobiah, the sons of Nekoda, 652. Of the sons of the priests, the sons of Habaiah, the sons of Kaz, and the sons of Barzillai, who took a wife of the daughters of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and was called by their name. These sought their listing among those who were registered by genealogy, but they were not found. Therefore, they were excluded from the priesthood as defiled. Uh-oh. Aren't you glad we live in the New Testament where we are redeemed from the curse of the law?
Yeah.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen, Sister Phyllis. Amen. I'm in Ezra 2:63. And the governor said to them that they should not eat of the most holy things till a priest can consult with the Urim and the Thummim. The whole assembly together was 42,360, besides their male and female servants, of whom there were 7,337, and they had 200 men and women singers. Their horses were 736, their mules 245, their camels 435, and their donkeys 6,720.
Wow.
Somebody has got a lot of hay to put out every morning.
Yeah.
See, some people don't think about that. Until you've crawled up in the barn and kicked down 5 bales of hay for the 8 cows in the barnyard. And then what did they just tell you? They 6,720 donkeys. You know how much hay them guys eat? You know how big a barn they had to have for them?
I think it was before then. Before wow. There was bales of hay. If they were just loose in the field.
736 horses.
Can you imagine being the scribe running around trying to count all of those?
That's when they first started punching them number things in their ears.
Yeah.
Verse 68, that has nothing to do with salvation. That's just one of those things that God puts in there that makes me go, wow.
Yeah.
Some of the heads of the father's house, when they came to the house of the Lord, which was in Jerusalem, offered freely for the house of God to erect it in its place, according to their ability. They gave to the treasury for the work 61,000 gold drachmas, 5,000 minas of silver, and 100 priestly garments. That's a good size offering. So the priest, somebody figure up all that in today's weight in gold and silver and just see how big an offering them dudes gave. Verse 70, so the priest and the Levites, some of the people, the singers, the gatekeepers, The Nethinim dwelt in their cities, and all Israel in their cities. Chapter 3. Don't you just love to read the word? I just love it. Worship is restored at Jerusalem. Can you imagine the thrill and the joy of being back in the city, even though it was burnt down and wasn't in order? These guys who had prayed for 70 years for God to restore the kingdom, and here they are. Chapter 3. And when the seventh month had come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered together as one man to Jerusalem. Then Joshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren, the priest, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, arose and built the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings on it, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. So it took them 7 months to get back home, get everything in order like it needed to be, and then say, we better get our stuff together and get an altar built. 3. Though fear had come upon them because of the people of those countries, they set the altar on its bases, and they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord, both the morning and the evening burnt offerings. Now, remember, in the Old Testament, that honors God. You and I sacrifice in a morning and an evening offering. That doesn't honor God. Verse 4, they also kept the Feast of the Tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings in the number required by ordinance for each day. Afterward, they offered the regular burnt offering, and those for the new moons, and for all the appointed feasts of the Lord that were consecrated, and those of everyone who willingly offered a freewill offering to the Lord. That's where people find that terminology in the day we live. I just give freewill offerings. I don't sow seed or pay my tithe or anything. I'm just a freewill offering person. Well, that's good. You should be. But you should learn all of the process of God. Really, very specifically, tithing. Because it protects your life. Verse 6. From the first day of the seventh month, they began to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, although the foundation of the temple of the Lord had not been laid. They also gave money to the masons and the carpenters, and food and drink and oil to the people of Sidon, and Tyre to bring cedar logs from Lebanon to the sea to Joppa, according to the permission which they had from Cyrus, king of Persia. So they're going to put cedar rafters or something in. Beautiful. Verse 8, in the second month of the second year of their coming to the house of God at Jerusalem, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the rest of the brethren, the priest, and the Levites, and all those who had come up out of the captivity to Jerusalem, began work and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and above to oversee the work of the house of the Lord. Then Jeshua with his sons and brothers, Kadmiel with his sons and the sons of Judah, arose as one to oversee those working on the house of God. The sons of Henadad with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsibly, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures toward Israel. The end of Brother Hagin's life, he opened most of his services with hallelujah, his mercy endures forever. Over and over. That's how he, well, he would do it about, you know, eight times, but anyways. Then I love this. Then all the people shouted with a great shout. Hallelujah! A great shout. Now, you didn't shout, but I did. So that makes me more holy. Just, if you know, if you're wondering, I'm just ducking what everybody's throwing at him. All the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. You think about the way we've been around here. How many times we've sang the song, "For He is good. His mercy endures forever." Verse 12. Many of the priests and Levites and heads of the fathers' houses, old men, who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this temple was laid before their eyes. Yet many men shouted for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the sound was heard afar off. Chapter 4. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the descendants of the captivity were building the temple of the Lord God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and the heads of the fathers' houses and said to them, "Let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do. And we have sacrificed to him since the days of Esarhaddon, the king of Assyria, who brought us there." But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the heads of the fathers' houses of Israel said to them, "You may do nothing with us to build a house for our God, but we alone will build to the Lord, God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us." Then the people of the land tried to discourage the people of Judah. They troubled them in building, hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even to the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Now that's really interesting. They even hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. That is an enemy. And if you're one of those people that's doing what you're doing to frustrate the purpose of a man or woman of God, just stop it already. I heard Dr. Leroy Thompson telling people, "I command you to live. Stop dying." That's what he said. Amen. Stop frustrating the purpose. Verse 6. I'm in Ezra 4, 6. In the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, they wrote an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. In the days of Artaxerxes, also Bishlam, Mithridath, Tabel, and the rest of their companions wrote to Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And the letter was written in Aramaic script and translated into the Aramaic language. Rehum, the commander of Shimshai, the scribe, wrote a letter against Jerusalem to King Artaxerxes in this fashion. From Rehum, the commander, Shimshai the scribe, and the rest of their companions, representatives of the Dinaites, the Aphersathkites, the Tarpalites, the people of Persia, and Erech, and Babylon, Shushan, the Dehavites, and the Elamites. You can tell those were some wicked names from wicked people. Anyways. And the rest of the nations whom the great and noble Osnapper. What is an Osnapper? Somebody look that up.
Welcome, Juliana. Glad you're with us.
Welcome, Juliana. We're glad you're with us. It's good to have you. What is an Ausnapper? Settled in the cities of Samaria and the remainder beyond the river and so far. And, you know, I find it interesting. Of all the things I learned in Bible college, nobody taught me about an Ausnapper. Or is that just, oh, snapper? This is the copy of the letter that they sent him to the king Artaxerxes from your servants, the men of the region beyond the river, and so forth. Let it be known to the king that the Jews who came up from you have come to us at Jerusalem and are building the rebellious and evil city and are finishing its walls and repairing the foundations. Let it now be known to the king that if the city is built and the walls completed, they will not pay tax, tribute, or custom, and the king's treasuries will be diminished. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Now, because we received support from the palace, it was not proper for us to see the king's dishonor. Therefore, we have sent and informed the king that search may be made in the book of the records of your fathers, and you will find in the book of the records and know that this city is a rebellious city, harmful to kings and provinces, and that they have incited sedition within the city in former times, for which cause this city was destroyed. We inform the king that if the city is rebuilt and the walls are completed, the result will be that you will have no dominion beyond the river. Sedition. Wicked, perverse sedition. If you don't know the word sedition, that means they undermine the authority of those in leadership on purpose to destroy them. Verse 17. So the king sent an answer. Knucklehead, moron, ignoramus? That's not what it says, but that's how I think the king felt. To Rehum, the commander, to Shimshai, the scribe, to the rest of these, their companions who dwell in Samaria, and to the remainder beyond the river. Peace and so forth. What's up with these guys with so forth? The letter which you sent to us has been clearly read before me. And I gave command, and a search has been made. And it was found that this city in former times has revolted against kings in rebellion and sedition, and have been fostered in it. There have also been mighty kings over Jerusalem who have ruled over all the region beyond the river, and tax, tribute, and custom were paid to them. Now give the command to make these men cease, that this city may not be built until the command is given by me. Take heed now that you do not fail to do this. Why should damage increase the hurt of the kings? Now when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum, Shimshai, the scribe, and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem against the Jews, and by force of arms made them cease. Thus the work of the house of God, which is at the temple, and it is at Jerusalem, ceased, and it was discontinued until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Wicked men. Mm-hmm. Chapter 5.
Do you want to hear about
Ausnapper? Yeah, who's
Ausnapper? He was luxurious, ambitious, and cruel, but a magnificent patron of literature. He formed at Nineveh a library of clay tablets numbering about 10,000. These are known mostly in the British Museum. They throw much light on the history and antiques of Assyria. He said, the last truly great king of Assyria, probably the same as Ashurbanipal, great and noble. He was the son and successor of Esarhaddon.
Yeah. Huh. So that was actually his name. That's not a title.
No, that was his name.
All right, we're in Ezra chapter 5. Well, that's why we do this, because as you read it, things jump out that wouldn't necessarily jump out if you was just reading to yourself, you know, silently. As we say, reading in your own mind. Because most of those things like that, you just fly right over it. But here at Read the Word, we're like, what's going on? Go ahead. Go ahead.
It says Ashurbanipal or Benipal was a munificent patron of literature and the conqueror of Elam. Toward the middle of his reign, his empire was shaken by a great rebellion headed by his brother in Babylon. The rebellion was finally put down by Egypt, but Egypt was lost, and the military power of Assyria was so exhausted that it could, with difficulty, resist the hordes of Cimmerians who poured over Western Asia. That is interesting.
Serious history.
Yeah.
And if you listen, you can hear it right in here.
Yeah.
Here we go. Ezra chapter 5, verse number 1. Then the prophet Haggai. Here comes the prophets. And Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophets, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who was over them. Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, rose up and began to build the house of God which is in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were with them, helping them. Now remember, the king had gone against his first order when he said, go build it. And then these guys showed up and said, go stop them. And then the prophets showed up and said, you guys keep building. Verse 3, at the same time, Tittani, the governor of the region beyond the river, and Shethar-Boznai and their companions came to them and spoke thus to them, who has commanded you to build this temple and finish this wall? Accordingly, we told them the names of the men who were constructing the building. But the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, so that they could not make them cease till a report could go to Darius. Then a written answer was returned concerning this matter. This is the copy of the letter that Tattenai sent, the governor of the region beyond the river, and Shethar-Boznai and his companions, the Persians, who were in the region beyond the river, to Darius the king. They sent a letter to him in which was written thus, to Darius the king, all peace. Let it be known to the king that we went into the province of Judea to the temple of the great God which is being built. They called it the great God. Remember what Samuel Rodriguez said? Even when they stole away the glory of the Lord in the ark, they treated it right.
Yeah.
Which is being built with heavy stones and timbers being laid in the walls. And this work goes on diligently and prospers in their hand. The work goes on diligently and the work prospers in their hands. Then we asked these elders and spoke to them, who commanded you to build this temple and to finish these walls? We also asked them their names to inform you that we might write the names of the men who were chief among them. And thus they returned to us an answer saying, we are the servants of the God of heaven and earth. We are rebuilding the temple that was built many years ago, which a great king of Israel built and completed. But because our fathers provoked the God of heaven to wrath, he gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this temple and carried the people away to Babylon. However, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Babylon, King Cyrus issued a decree to build this house of God. Also the gold and silver, articles of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple that was in Jerusalem and carried into the temple of Babylon. Those King Cyrus took from the temple of Babylon, and they were given to one named Sheshbazzar, whom he made governor. And he said to him, take these articles, go carry them to the temple site, that is, in Jerusalem, and let the house of God be rebuilt on its former site. Then the same Sheshbazzar came and laid the foundation of the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. But from that time, even until now, it has been under construction, and it is not finished. Now, therefore, if it seems good to the king, let a search be made in the king's treasurer's house, which is there in Babylon, whether it is so that a decree was issued by King Cyrus to build this house of God at Jerusalem, and let the king send us his pleasure concerning this matter. They were very, very wise men. Everybody pause for a minute. I just got a stretch. After just riding 1,500 miles in the car. You just have to stretch a little bit. Chapter 6, The Decree of Darius. Brother Roger, Brother Dan, Sister Phyllis, and Sister Leanne. Is everybody else over on YouTube?
Sunday in Juliana.
Sunday in Juliana, welcome. We love you guys, all of you on Facebook, everyone, YouTube, Twitter, Jumper, Dancer, and all the rest of them. Send it wherever you want to be, send it there. All right. Issued a decree and search was made in the archives where the treasures were stored in Babylon and at Akmetha in the palace that is in the province of Media. Scroll was found and in it a record was written thus. In the first year of King Cyrus issued a decree concerning the house of the God of Jerusalem. Let the house be rebuilt, the place where they offered sacrifices. Let the foundation of it be firmly laid, not just laid, firmly laid, its height 60 cubits and its width 60 cubits. With 3 rows of heavy stones and 1 row of new timber, let the expenses be paid from the king's treasury, and let the gold and silver articles of the house of God which Nebuchadnezzar took from the temple which is in Jerusalem, brought to Babylon, be restored and taken back to the temple which is in Jerusalem, each to its place, and deposit them in the house of God. That's laid out pretty serious for Darius, who's a Mede. Therefore, Tattenai, governor of the region beyond the river, and Shethar-Boznai, and your companions, the Persians who are beyond the river, keep yourselves far from there. Don't go near. Let the work of this house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God on its site. Moreover, I issue a decree as to what you shall do for the elders of these Jews for the building of this house of God. Let the cost be paid at the king's expense from taxes on the region beyond the river. This is to be given immediately to these men so that they are not hindered.
Amen.
Another one of them situations where you try to mock God's men. Remember what God said? I will bless those who bless you.
Yep.
And I will curse those who curse you. Not Sam. Sam's not cursing anybody. God said that. Verse 9. And whatever they need, young bulls, rams, lambs for the burnt offerings of the God of heaven, wheat, salt, wine, and oil, according to the request of the priests who are in Jerusalem, let it be given them day by day without fail. I like that. Without fail. Don't fail this. They may offer sacrifice of sweet aroma to the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and his sons. So he's going to get a benefit of this because he knows the children of Israel will pray for him. Also, I issue a decree that whoever alerts this edict, let a timber be pulled from his house and erected, and let him be hanged on it. Let his house be made a refuse heap because of this. Whoever alters this edict, that's what it says. Wow. May the God who causes his name to dwell there destroy any king or people who put their hand to alter or destroy the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. Darius issued a decree, let it be done diligently.
Wow.
He was praying.
Any king or people. So even the kings are going to be held liable.
All right, 13. Then Tattenai, the governor of the region beyond the river, Shethar-Boznai, and their companions diligently did according to what King Darius had sent. The elders of the Jews rebuilt, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet, Zechariah the son of Edu. And they built and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the command of Cyrus. Darius and Artaxerxes, the king of Persia. Now the temple was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. The children of Israel, the priests and the Levites and the rest of the descendants of the captivity celebrated the dedication of the house of God with joy. And they offered sacrifices at the dedication of this house of God. 100 bulls. Now we passed a few fields today that had 100 head of cattle in it. 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and as a sin offering for all Israel, 12 male goats, according to the number of the tribes of Israel. That's a whole lot of sacrificing going on. They assigned the priests to their divisions and the Levites to their divisions over the service of God in Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moses. Verse 19. And the descendants of the captivity kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. For the priests and the Levites had purified themselves. All of them were ritually clean. I like that. Huh. And the Apostle Paul said, that's filthy rags, boy. Yeah. You don't want to find that own righteousness in yourself. But see, that's the difference between the Old Testament and the New.
Yeah. Yep.
They slaughtered the Passover lambs for the descendants of the captivity, for their brethren, the priests, and for themselves. Then the children of Israel had returned from the captivity, ate together with all who separated themselves from the filth of the nations of the land in order to seek the Lord God of Israel. And they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. For the Lord made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria toward them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. And they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy. And then chapter 7. Wow. This is the part where we say circle the wagons. Now, well, let's just turn there. Let's turn to two places. We got just a couple minutes here. Go with me to Micah 6, 8. And Isaiah chapter 1. Micah 6, 8. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Jonah. Is that right?
Yep.
Micah, Nahum. I like Micah. It's my grandson's name. I love you, Micah, if you're watching. What did I tell you? Micah 6?
Micah 6, 8.
8, yeah.
Going too fast.
Watch this. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Now, that word humbly is not humiliated. There's a big difference between humble and humiliated.
Right.
Humble, you know who you are. You're very confident in yourself. But rather than be the person in the front, you just take a step back and say, oh, let that person be in the front. What difference does it make? I mean, if you're the leader, be the leader. But if you're not, if it's not about the leader thing, then always learn to be humble and support somebody else in what they're doing. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? This is a requirement of God. But to do justly, just as if I never sinned. Love mercy. That means you give people mercy when they don't necessarily deserve it.
And then you receive it.
Mercy is what you and I get that we didn't deserve. We deserved hell, but we got mercy. Yeah. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Don't worry about it. Isaiah chapter 1. I was going to try to go into that, but I'll just leave it. Isaiah 1, and we're going to verse 16 through 20. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil from your doings from before my eyes. Now, that's the Old Testament. Once you and I are born again, the evil doings are gone. According to the book of John, the book of John, the book of James, and we just keep going. Verse 16. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away from you the evil doings. Cease to do evil. 17. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. And plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together. It's what God said. Though your sins are like scarlet, red, wicked, sinful red, they shall be as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Verse 19, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Verse 20, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. God showed the children of Israel what to do. It was right their whole life. And they missed it. And in the book of Matthew it says, they chose not to. Their eyes they have closed. Their ears they have closed. So that they don't see the truth. Why? Because the truth will demand that they step up to it. But here's the reality, guys. On the other side, we might as well step up now, because on the other side we're going to be judged in the fact that we knew we're supposed to step up, but we stepped back down and said, no, I'm not going up. And that judgment is at the judgment seat of Christ, and there'll be people that'll lose their whole reward right there on that day. Wow. And that will not be you or me. Say it. Amen. I will not lose my reward.
I will not lose my reward.
Let's take the negative out and say it positively. I am receiving every reward that Jesus has for me.
Amen. Receiving every reward Jesus has for me.
In Jesus' mighty name. Now, we normally, at this point in our program, pray the prayer of salvation. But I want us to receive communion together. I'm instructed tonight that right here that we would receive communion. Now, many of you are like, Pastor, we're like way early tonight. I know. But that's okay, because Sister Leanne and I haven't had sleep in about 36 hours, so it's going to be all right with us if we get done a little early tonight, so that we can get a good night's sleep. And thank you, Jesus, it'll be in our own bed. But so we're going to take communion. Now, you might say, Pastor, you're not my church, you're not my pastor, so I can't receive communion with us. No, that's not the Bible. You are a member of the body of Christ, so anytime the body of Christ is broken between believers, you are welcome by God to be a partaker of those communion elements. Now, I know that there's church organizations that you're not welcome to be a part of, but those are just religious organizations. They're not anything, well, I won't say that. Seem to have lost my filter somewhere.
You know, Brian Kent's talking about country clubs.
Well, anybody who tells you that you can't take communion unless you're just with your own folk, they not. Now, listen, I'm not taking away their salvation, but they're not a very good Bible student. Because that's not our Jesus. Jesus is all-inclusive in everything that he does. Now, here's how this is going to work. I'm going to read the verses out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Then we're going to say the prayer of prayer. The prayer of salvation with you. Everybody can pray with us. Then I'll give you about 2 minutes of instruction. And then we will receive the bread and then receive the juice. That's our tradition. It's the way the Holy Spirit told us to do it. Our way isn't right and everybody else's way is wrong. Our way is our way. And we're glad to have you be a part of it with us. Now listen, this is a very serious issue with some people, as they've made communion almost a damning factor for believers. And it's not. It is you and I enjoying the wonderful name and the blood of Jesus on a daily basis. Jesus literally said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. But there's a lot of churches that the only way they receive communion is if you remember all the suffering that Jesus did, if you see him hanging on the tree, if you feel the lashes of the whip. They get into some really seriously ridiculous stuff. And it's just not in the Bible. So as you hear me say all the time, read the book. Read the book. Those of you that are on Read the Word with us, you might say, well, Pastor, we were supposed to take communion on Sunday. I know, but that whole Sunday thing didn't work like it was supposed to. While we are on the road, that's just an interesting challenge. It just is an interesting situation. So let's receive communion today in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup, not the plastic, the representation of the fruit of the vine, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. You got to remember, on that night, Jesus was ending the Passover. Jesus took the last Passover ever that was ever necessary. He took the last one with his disciples. And now he's ushering them in to the new way, to the new covenant. Verse 25, in the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. Verse 26, for as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. Verse 27, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Verse 28, however, let a man examine himself, pray, he'll be right with God, and then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Love, God's perfect love, has been perfected amongst us. You and I here around the world, whoever's listening to us. That we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is right now, so are we in this world. In Jesus' mighty name. Love, God's perfect love, cast out fear and all the torment and trauma that goes with it. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. I find it interesting that Lou Engle has turned his whole prayer ministry into communion now to fight this trauma. Tudor Bismarck spoke about it. T.D. Jakes spoke about it. Jesse Duplantis spoke about it. Samuel Rodriguez spoke about it. Dr. Barclay spoke about it. Phil Driscoll spoke. Everywhere we went, they spoke about communion and the trauma of COVID. And you and I have been on it since the beginning, saying, we bind you trauma in people's lives. And we call them set free.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Ready? Let's pray the prayer of salvation. I want everybody within the sound of my voice to pray the prayer. No matter where you are, no matter what, pause and pray this prayer. Because then in 2 minutes, you'll be right with God. How cool is that? Here we go. I'll pray it. Sister Leanne will follow me. You lead. You follow with her. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in
you. You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
Here's your responsibility in mind. Make a declaration. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your hands out and say, I receive you into my life, Jesus.
I receive you into my life, Jesus.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling me with all the fullness of God.
Filling me with all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
And understand the Word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to the body of believers, the body of Christ. Welcome aboard the greatest decision you ever made in your whole life. Some of you right now are saying, wow, Pastor, what is going on the inside of me? What's going on the inside of you is Jesus, God Almighty, just came and is filling you with all of Him. Because that's what you ask him to do. We led you into prayer because we know how to pray and how to lead you. But the sooner we can get you understanding that what just happened in your life is God Almighty filled you. You didn't join a church. You didn't join a religion or a denomination. You just was made at one with God Almighty. And now, what you must do is walk with God every day. Walk with God every day. You might say, I don't even know how to do that. I know, but we do. You wake up in the morning, looking up at that ceiling before you ever even get out of bed, and you just pray the prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, help me walk with you. Reach over and grab your Bible and read Psalm number 3 and Psalm 103, verses 1 through 8. Why? They're great beginning verses that talk about your relationship between you and God your Father and how much He loves you and what He's going to do for you every day. And then stick with us right here. Read the Word. And if you just start in January on this playlist for Read the Word, if you just start in January and listen to it all the way through, your life would be so transformed.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
By those videos. You would be so transformed. And you would be amazed at how much growth you would have in the next 6 weeks, whatever it takes you to do it. In Jesus' mighty name. So welcome to the kingdom of God. You've been adopted by the Father. You are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Like literally everything the Father has put in Jesus' hand, Jesus has put in our hand because we are Jesus' hands and feet on this earth.
Amen.
Even if you're just the skin on the bottom of Jesus' heel, you are the crush point of the enemy's head.
Hallelujah.
Just don't become flaky and flake off. That was a pretty good one. I don't usually get them that easy. You know, some people get flaky heels, you know. They don't lotion their feet effectively, you know. Don't worry about it. I thought it was a wonderful joke. But anyways, it's. I know people are like, why are you trying to be funny right in the middle of communion? I wasn't. It's a powerful point. That says, even if that's what you are, is the skin on Jesus' heel, you're the crush point of the enemy's head. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty high and lofty position to be in, even though that's on the bottom of Jesus' foot.
Amen.
That's what goes on every day. Well, my email address and website, you can find it right there in the notes, right down there, right there. And, for those of you on Blog Talk Radio, it's in the comments there or in the notes of your program too. And we encourage you to continually be a part of our program and grow in God. The two Psalms I just spoke was Psalm 23, the whole Psalm, and then Psalm 103, verse 1 through 8. I mean, you can do the whole Psalm, but the one that God was pointing out was Psalm 103, 1 through 8. Well, there we go. Let's receive our communion elements together today. And we welcome you. Those of you that have just been born again, the first thing you get to do is receive communion. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You ready? Here we go. Hold your elements up. Let's bless them. Pray this with me. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
You were bruised for all of my iniquity.
You were bruised for all of my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you.
The chastisement for my peace is upon you. Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
There's nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint is supplying in my body.
Every joint is supplying in my body.
From Jesus' broken body. In the body of Christ in my community.
in the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Jesus, that you endured the cross, despising the shame, and you're sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And now, we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Ready? Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed. By the blood of Jesus, I am reconciled.
By the blood of Jesus, I am reconciled.
With my Father forever. By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission.
And will never come alive again.
According to the word of God.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
And I thank you for it. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus. And the word of my testimony. I overcome. By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down.
By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down.
And there is no more condemnation in my life. My conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be. The glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's receive this wonderful blood of Jesus. Glory be to the Lamb of God. I heard another Blood of Jesus song the other day. And I loved it, but I don't know it. But let's sing our old faithful. The blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For those of you that received communion with us from the Read the Word program, I encourage you I used to say every day, but this last week we missed a couple days. Almost every single day you'll find us right on here receiving communion together at the close of our evening program. And you most certainly can click back in YouTube anywhere on any of our programs and pretty much find us receiving communion at the end of the program, because it's an assignment that the Father gave to me when we began to do this, so that no matter what, there would never be anybody who would show up at one of our programs and would miss out on an opportunity to receive communion and find Jesus and become a believer. That's our commitment. For all of those of you who are with me tonight, lift your hands like this and say, Jesus, I give my time, talent, and treasure.
I give my time, talent, and treasure.
I sow it as a seed.
I sow it as a seed.
Into the gospel ministry.
Into the gospel ministry.
Right here at the community of faith.
Right here at the community of faith.
And according to Mark chapter 10.
And according to Mark chapter 10.
I receive a hundredfold return. And the wages that Jesus promised.
And the wages that Jesus promised.
When I reap souls.
When I reap souls.
When I reap souls.
And I thank you for it.
Thank you for it.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Sister Phyllis.
Yes.
Give us the doxology.
Thank you. My pleasure. Jude 20 through 25. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And I'd also like to read Revelation 1, 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And amen. And amen. Amen. We are kings and priests unto our God. That's a little bit like, little bit greater than just a card-carrying member down at the First Baptist Church.
Amen.
Like a pew warmer.
Like Sister Phyllis said, talking about the Christian Country Club. Thank God that you've joined with us to find out who Jesus actually is in your life and in mine. Jesus' mighty name. Well, guys, we would love to stay on forever, but we did really good. We did not fall asleep while we were reading, while we were doing any of it. So we just had us a good program, and we'll see you tomorrow, just like we always do. And we'll be having our morning prayer, shows up at 9 Eastern, 8 Central in the morning. And we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Am I forgetting anything?
Well, I'm thinking about the truck. Are we possibly going to be? Okay. All right.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Anything? I feel like I'm forgetting something. It's just that it's 10 after and we're already done, but we made it.
We made it.
All the way home, so caught up, read the word, had a program, got to see all of our friends, and we're done by 9/11.
It's so, so good to be back home with you guys.
It's
God is so good.
God is so good.
To me, he is so good to me. Da 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 da. I don't know the rest of it. Where are you? Where are you, Rivers? Oh, we even got to be with Rivers. We'll tell you that story tomorrow.
Yeah.
Till we see you again, this is what we say. Everybody help me. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you.
And Jesus is Lord.
Is.
Amen.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Amen.
And amen.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Love you, Phyllis. Love you, Roger. Brother Dan.
Thank you for using
Sister Gwen. Love you, Rebecca. Bye. And Sunday and Aliana. What's your name?
Juliana.
And our friend over in Mary in Singapore. And Julian in Bamala in Malaysia, Brother Tanvir, and all your friends and family in Pakistan. Who's some other people? Anyways, all y'all. We love all y'all and your brothers.
Amen.
We'll see you soon.